So I suppose that there are some people who don't much like picnics. You know, too many bugs, no air conditioning, things like that. But me, you can put me very firmly in the picnic-loving camp. Maybe for me it goes back to childhood. For us, for my family, I grew up outside of Detroit, Michigan, but summer vacation was a trip to Virginia, Central Virginia, where my mother was from and where all of her people still lived on dairy farms. They were farming folk. And when we were visiting, there was always a big picnic with all of the aunts and the uncles and the cousins, and we would gather in the heat of a summer day under the shade of the giant old oak trees in the front yard of one of the family farmhouses. And the men would put out sawhorses and put big wooden planks across the sawhorses that served for serving tables for all the food that arrived as the people did. I mean, fried chicken and deviled eggs and ham biscuits and corn pudding and green beans and black-eyed peas and cakes and homemade ice cream. It went on endlessly. And I'd see all that wonderful food and it made me so hungry. But I had to wait until one of my uncles and back in the 1950s and early 60s, it was inevitably an uncle in his bib overalls got up to give the blessing. A long, long blessing. And then we would dive in and we would eat until our stomachs were about to burst. But later on then, after a little bit of a pause, the watermelons would be brought up from the stream where they were cooling and sliced into giant wedges. I mean, seriously, not these pitiful little triangular slices of watermelon that you get up north here these days. These were giant pieces of watermelon that were handed out. And, of course, the kids would be, we'd be chasing each other around spitting watermelon seeds at each other. Now, that's a picnic. I'd even say that there's a chance that those gatherings were gospel picnics. Have you ever been to a gospel picnic? Do you know what a gospel picnic is? A gospel picnic needs four things. It needs hungry people, everybody shares, Jesus multiplies, and there's more than enough. You want to come to a gospel picnic? You're invited. And there's one right here. A gospel picnic starts with hungry people. There sure were hungry people that day on the hillside by the Sea of Galilee. Did you ever think that Jesus might have been one of them? The story begins with this sentence, when Jesus heard about John. So if you were to actually look up this passage in the 14th chapter of Matthew, you'll find out what it was that Jesus heard. Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been murdered. Now, this was Jesus' cousin, somebody that he'd grown up playing with. And this was Jesus' forerunner, the one who went out and was telling people, prepare the way of the Lord. He was murdered by King Herod and his head delivered on a plate to King Herod's wife. Surely, Jesus was shocked and grieving. Surely he needed some time to just gather in what this meant and think about, well, now, how does this change things? Maybe my ministry won't last as long as I thought it would. Maybe things won't turn out the way I thought, I hoped. Surely, in this moment, Jesus himself is hungry, emotionally and spiritually hungry. So he goes off across the lake to be alone with God. But what happens? The needy, clingy crowds run around the shore to meet him where he lands on the other side of the lake. They're there waiting for him. And the Bible story tells us that Jesus had compassion for them. His heart goes out to them. He heals their sick. No matter how tired and how anxious and grieving he is, Jesus healed their sick until evening. And now that it's evening, everyone's hungry. And there's no taco truck or hot dog stand in sight. Trust me on that. The ancient Jewish philosopher Philo said, "Be kind, for everyone you meet is carrying a great burden." Be kind, for everyone you meet is carrying a great burden. We're all bearing some sort of burden, aren't we? Wrestling with some question. One way or another, we all come this morning hungry. And we come out of a hungry world, don't we? Desperate Haitians being flown back to their violent, earth-ravaged country. The Afghan economy collapsing even further than it was collapsed before. International aid interrupted, people without food. This week, the United States surpassed the inconceivable threshold of 700,000 people dead of COVID. And we're so exhausted by it all that we're hardly able to still pay attention. The eviction moratorium here in Illinois expires today. And unless families can figure out a way to get the aid that's available to them, they'll start losing their housing just as the weather gets colder. Jesus, look! People are hurting. People are hungry. There's so much need. Our hearts are heavy. But that's just the first thing you need for a gospel picnic. Hungry people. The second thing that it takes to have a gospel picnic is everyone sharing. The disciples say to Jesus, "Send the people away so they can buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, no, that's not how it works around me. You feed them. The folks said, "But this is all we have right here in this little basket, and it's not much." Jesus says, "Never mind. Give it to me." And Jesus sat the people down, and he blessed their tiny bit of food. And then he passed it out. Did you ever think that maybe, just maybe, other people had a bit of bread, a little fish, a few olives in a bag? And that as the disciples passed out the food that Jesus had blessed, that other food came out and got passed as well. At a gospel picnic, everyone shares. Now, I don't know about you folks, but to my mind, one of the saddest things about our pandemic-altered life is the lack of church potlucks. If I'm a fan of picnics, I'm an even bigger fan of church potlucks. I've never been to one here at Community Church of Barrington, but I've also never known a church that didn't know how to announce, "We're having a potluck, bring some food to share, and it's wonderful, it's grand, it always works out. You don't have to be outdoors to have a gospel picnic. And there's also no freeloaders at a gospel picnic. Not because we've got bouncers at the door to keep out anybody who doesn't bring something, but because everyone really does have something to share. You know, the church will put out some food and folks will bring their specialty, whatever that is, and the children will bring their laughter and their energy, and folks will pitch in to help set up and to help clean up. And even if somebody missed the announcement and didn't bring a dish, they're still welcome. They can share a hug. They can sit and listen to somebody who's lonely. And if you come to a church potluck and you don't offer anything, not food or help or love or encouragement, well, then you may have been there, but you missed the gospel part. You missed the good news part. It's a gospel picnic when people show up hungry and everyone shares. And the third thing you need for a gospel picnic is that Jesus multiplies what's there. Jesus multiplies all the food, all the work, all the love. Jesus multiplies it. It wasn't just once on that hillside long ago in Galilee that Jesus took the bread that we supply and held it up before God and blessed and broke it. The gospel picnic in our scripture lesson this morning was not a one-time thing. Now, I want you to take out your bulletin and look at the pictures on the cover. These pictures were taken at the Church of the Multiplication, which is in Tabgha, Galilee. And it is the traditional location of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Now, let me just explain this a little bit. There was a church built at this place in the 5th century. That's the 400s. That was a time when the church began to try to identify the sites, and there was a lot of oral tradition about this happened here, this happened here. But then, you know, every spot, they built a church on top. And so there was a 5th century church built on this spot that had floor that was these wonderful, amazing mosaics, incredible artwork right there under your feet. Well, over the century upon century upon century, that church fell into ruins. And in the 20th century, a modern church was again built over top of it. But they preserved as much of the mosaic flooring that had survived right where it was. They didn't move it. They built over it and used it. So look at the picture. You can see the modern altar of this Church of the Multiplication, and it is on the same spot as the altar of the 4th century church. And right in front of it, in the upper picture, you can faintly see the mosaic on the floor. This is an early church mosaic. The picture in the insert is a close-up of that mosaic. Now, I want you to look at that mosaic. How many fish do you see in the picture? Two. How many loaves of bread are in the basket? Four. How many loaves of bread were in the story that we just read from Matthew? Five. So what sense do you make of that? Could the Christians in the 5th century not count? I kind of doubt it. Does anybody have a guess? I'm sorry? Oh, the basket's deep and there's another layer underneath. Yeah, that's a possibility. You know, they could have stacked the bread in the basket. But I think that the Christians in the 5th century were making a deeper point. How do you like that, Elaine? It wasn't the basket that was deep, but their theological, biblical thinking. The fifth loaf is on the communion table. The fifth loaf is the one the worshipers bring. Ancient Christian wisdom wants us to connect every celebration of communion with the original gospel picnic on that hillside by the Sea of Galilee. The hungry crowd, the five loaves, the two fish, food for all. Now, I've got to admit that this was kind of a new idea to me in 2012 when we visited the Holy Land, because we always connect communion with the story of the Last Supper in the upper room, right? And the Passover meal where Jesus gathered with his disciples, and we say, we always repeat and read, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed and he broke it. And that's all well and good, and it's fitting and right. But what if we also thought of communion as a gospel picnic? We come hungry. We come with the piddly little bit that we have to offer. And Jesus is here to multiply it. And everyone is fed. And we go home nourished. When we gather around this table and have that little bit of bread and that little bit of juice, we leave as full and contented as if we'd feast on fried chicken and corn on the cob. I hope that you'll think of this when we gather around the Lord's Supper in a few moments, that this table is, in every time and place, not just a memorial meal. And, you know, I honestly believe that communion is not supposed to feel like Jesus' funeral. Now, I've sort of fought this battle for 40-some years in ministry, but it oughtn't to feel like a funeral. That it's also a celebration. It's a gospel picnic where hungry people gather and we share what we have, and Jesus multiplies all that we bring to this community. And here at this table, we are fed by Jesus. And finally, the fourth thing that it takes to make a gospel picnic is that there's more than enough. We leave this table nourished because with Jesus' touch, even a little bit is more than enough. We began this morning with the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and it's one of my favorite hymns. It's a hymn that testifies to life kind of like a gospel picnic. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. And that those words always touch me deeply, and never more than when I have arrived at church empty, stressed, hurting, and in those times I may be singing these words through tears. Because the hymn shows me my lean and hungry time in a new light. It helps me see the gospel picnic that is spread all around me through all of my life. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. On that hillside, we are told that the disciples gathered 12 baskets of leftovers. That's the fourth truth of a gospel picnic. There's always more than enough. And so in a few minutes, we'll gather around the communion table and we will be fed what I and I alone have decided to call a gospel picnic, okay? Like nobody else necessarily is calling it that. But that's our word for today. But our gospel picnics just for us? Are they only for our own nourishment? Well, heaven forbid, not when there's a hungry world, a hurting world out there. So I remind you that on October 28th, Jesus is going to host another gospel picnic right here at CCB. Not going to be bread and fish on the menu this time, but chili. You know what I'm talking about, right? I am sure there's going to be a lot more things at the community meal that this church is sponsoring besides just the chili. And hungry people are going to show up, and they're going to be fed. And unfortunately, due to COVID, we won't be able to sit down together and be nourished spiritually and emotionally by fellowship and conversation the way those folks did on the hillside so long ago. But the hungry folks who come to pick up their dinner will be fed, not just in body, but also in soul, because their neighbors are caring enough to share. And those who cook the chili and those who come to help will be fed as well. I promise you, I'm looking forward to it. And before I leave today, I'm going to talk to Jackie Finney to see how I can help. And I hope you will too, because I guarantee that everything needed for a gospel picnic will be there at the community meal on that Thursday. Hungry people, everybody with something to share. Jesus will multiply all that we bring, and there will be more than enough to go around. Jesus extends us an invitation, not just to the communion table, not just on Sunday morning, not just at church, but every day. Jesus invites us to whole, bountiful, joyful life lived as a gospel picnic. We come hungry, everyone shares, Jesus multiplies, and we discover day by day, to our amazement, that there is more than enough. There is a picnic waiting. You're invited. Won't you come? Amen.